Well, if you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts. As I told the Sunday school class, Acts chapter 10 this morning. Vacation is over. Darn. Vacation is over, and we're going to get back to the routine of things. We will be having Wednesday night Bible study this Wednesday. We'll be studying the subject of worship, so we'd encourage you all to come out and be with us at that at 7 o'clock. Also, we'll be giving choir practice again at 6 o'clock, so we would encourage you to come out and join us for that if you would. Also, ladies, there is another sign-up sheet out there for Ladies Night Out. You're having an ice cream social on February. My goal one day is just to get it all right. That's all. I'm not asking much, Lord, you know. No, it's Friday, September the 8th at 6 p.m. here at the church. I have been already advised that I need to make sure the ice cream doesn't melt. So I'll probably have to keep an eye on things to make sure everything's okay there. But ladies, they always have a great time. And so if you can sign up for that, we would appreciate that so we know how to handle that. And also, with the senior citizen luncheon, lasagna is going to be provided, but we need some side dishes there. So we would ask you to make sure you sign up there so that we'll know how to better plan for that. But Acts chapter 10 today, let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and the opportunity to serve you. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, guide and direct us through it. Help me to say the things that need to be said this morning. Hinder me from saying things I should not. I pray use me as your tool, your instrument today to bring honor and glory to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask it in his name. Amen. Chapter 10 is a pivotal book in the book of Acts. It records the salvation of the Gentiles. The events in chapter 10 takes place about 10 years after Pentecost. Its topic is of utmost importance to the church, both then and now. Because the topic, it deals with the subject of acceptance. The Bible clearly teaches that God has no partiality with people. Salvation is offered to all, regardless of who they are, regardless of color or language or nationality or social status or whatever. The salvation is available to all. Unfortunately, not everyone has learned this truth. Too many today, as well as in the early church, focus too much on the outward appearance of someone instead of seeing the hearts of individuals, the hearts that God loves. The account of Peter and Cornelius here holds both theological and practical significance for each church and individual. Dr. Luke records for us how the gospel began to embrace the Gentile world. And a matter of fact, this account of Cornelius and Peter covers from Acts chapter 10, verse 1, all the way through Acts chapter 11, verse 18. We won't look at all of those verses today, but I would certainly encourage you to go home and read them today. This chapter does set it up for us and prepares us for Paul's missionary journey to the Gentiles, which we'll see beginning in Acts chapter 13. From this point in Acts, the primary focus now is going from the Jews to the Gentile. And so the church has moved from Jerusalem to Samaria and now to the Gentiles. Jesus had told the disciples that you shall be my witness in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And now we see that taking place. So join with me in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 8. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And so he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And so he had, when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. I've entitled the message today, Salvation for All. And the first thing I want us to see this morning from this passage of scripture as I begin to read it, I see a religious man, but lost. A religious man, but a lost man. Cornelius was a man, the Bible says, who was searching for the Lord. From these first few verses, we discover that Cornelius was a centurion in the city of Caesarea, but his heart was tired of the pagan myths and the empty religious practices that he had went through. He had turned to Judaism in hopes to find salvation. And the Bible tells, history tells us that Cornelius was as close to Judaism as a person could be without becoming a proselyte. But he was a religious man. That's what I want you to see. The Bible tells us that he feared God, along with his household. And the Bible tells us that he gave alms to the Jewish people. In other words, he was supporting the Jewish religion. The Bible tells us that he was a man of prayer. The Bible translation says that he was a man of prayer always. And some translations use the word continually. Here was a man who believed in God Jehovah, who prayed continuously, who gave to the work of the Lord, religious but lost. You know, there were many God-fearers like him in the ancient world, and they proved to be a ready field for spiritual harvest. But it's interesting to me to see how religious a person can be and still not be saved. How religious a person can be, but not yet saved. Certainly Cornelius was sincere. He wasn't giving to the work of the ministry. He wasn't praying and doing all those things in sincerity. He was sincere. He was sincere about his obedience to the Lord, his fasting and his generosity. Dr. Wiersbe said, in every way, he was a model of religious respectability and yet not a saved man. You see, the difference between Cornelius and many religious people today is this. He knew that his religious devotion was not sufficient. He realized that his religion, his religious devotions was not sufficient to save him. Many religious people today are satisfied that their character, their good works will get them to heaven. They do not have any concept either of their own sin or of grace. I remember years ago speaking to somebody about the Lord. And this is what they told me. They said, well, we're happy with our religion. And I happen to know what religion they were involved in. It certainly didn't teach salvation by grace. But that's what they told me. They said, I'm happy in my religion. They weren't like Cornelius, who realized that something was missing. But let me say this to you as well, that when there is somebody seeking the Lord, God responds to that. God will respond to every person that seeks him for salvation. You see that in verses 3 through 9. Remember the words of Jeremiah? I know I've used this passage before, but listen to what Jeremiah says. God tells the prophet, he says, then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Cornelius was a young man, a religious man, who was searching for the Lord and searching for the Lord with a true heart. And God has promised that when we search for him, you will find him. In his prayer, Cornelius was asking God this very simple thing, show me the way to salvation. If you look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4, it says about that ninth hour, he clearly saw the vision of the angel. And when he observed him, he was afraid. But the Bible says that the angel replied, a message from the Lord, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before the Lord. Now, Peter later on will say in chapter 11 and verse 13 and 14, this is what Peter will tell others when he gives the testimony. He says, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household, here it is, will be saved. You see, here was a man, religious but lost, searching for the truth. And when a man searches for the truth, God will also seek to respond to him. And so God sent an angel to Cornelius with that message. Go and see this one. Call for this man by the name of Peter, for he has the message for you. The message that you need to hear that you might be saved. If you look there in verse number 7 and verse 8, we see that Cornelius responds to the word of the Lord very, very quickly, just as a military man would do. Immediately, the Bible tells us that he sent two of his servants and sent one of his soldiers to look for the place where Peter was. You know, I was thinking about this when I was thinking about this. Why send for Peter when, remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Philip the evangelist. He was right in Caesarea. So why didn't God just tell Philip, hey, head over here to Cornelius' house and tell him about the Lord? Why did he have to go all the way to see Peter? And this is what I think about here, folks, is this, that God has the right servant for the right time. God knows who he needs to send to speak to somebody about the Lord. Dr. Wiersbe said, God not only works at the right time, but also works through the right servant, and both are essential. And so the servant, the one that Cornelius had to hear from, was the Apostle Peter. It is sad, folks, that so many people today are religious, but lost, and they see no need to make that change. It is sad to see people that are trusting in their works and their rituals, which have no power to save them from their sins. But there are many, and we need to understand this, folks, there are many who are seeking the answer to the question about God and how to have a relationship with him. I'm looking forward to the fall festival. Last year when we were at the fall festival, we had opportunities to talk to people one-on-one about their relationship with the Lord. We were able to pass out tracts and other things, inviting people to come to the Lord. I love it when we go to the raceway and we do the raceway ministry down there, because there are people that cross over our table that we were able to tell people about the Lord, and there are people genuinely looking for the answer. They're looking for the answer. And folks, when a person is seeking the Lord is going to send a messenger. They know, he knew, Cornelius knew that there was something missing. And he knew that he needed to seek the Lord. And so he was in prayer, and God sent him a special message. So the first thing I see from this passage of Scripture is a godly man. A godly man, a religious man, but a lost man. We see in verses 9 through 22, I won't read all of those verses to you today, but I want you to see this. That if we're going to be servants of the Lord, that we need to see others as God sees them. And God will never send us somewhere to do something that he's not prepared us to do. In other words, he's going to send us out with a message, but God prepares us. And in this passage of Scripture, verses 9 through 22, we see Peter being prepared for the event that he was about ready to experience. Remember, Peter was an Orthodox Jew all of his life. And the Jews didn't have anything to do with the Samaritans, and they certainly didn't have anything to do with the Gentiles. There had been a wall that was put up between them, and that wall has been taken down by the Lord Jesus Christ. But Peter needed to learn that. He needed a little lesson from the Lord. You know, it's sad today that walls are still being put up. As I read through this passage time and time again, I just kept going back to some good friends of ours, who we were in church with many, many years ago. And they moved down to St. Mary's, just north of Florida. And it was a black gentleman, and he was married to a Hawaiian woman. He met her when he was in the service. And great servants of the Lord working with youth. And when they went down there, they went to a church. They really liked the church, and they called me and told me about it. But then they called again, very upset. Because the pastor had visited them, and this is what the pastor told them. Now remember, they're a mixed race couple. The message to them was, you should go somewhere else. You should go somewhere else. You realize that's still happening today? That there are walls put up all over, the very walls that Jesus Christ tore down. And God wants us to prepare ourselves to go to those people who have been facing those walls and let them know that they're important to God. That they mean just as much to God as anyone else. Peter had to learn that lesson because the Bible tells us that he had a vision about food coming down, but it was a vision with an eternal message. You probably have heard the story before, and you can read it. I hope you do when you go home. That Peter goes to the rooftop, he's hungry, he falls into a trance. God sends a sheet down with all these different animals on it. He tells Peter to get up, kill them, and eat them. And of course, Peter refuses because many of the animals were unclean. It was against the Mosaic law to eat them. And anybody that would become defiled. And so he told the Lord, I'm not eating them. He said, no, Lord, I can't eat them. The Lord, though, was sending him a message. It was a message that should have reminded him what Jesus had said many times when he was here from Mark chapter 7. When Jesus walked with his disciples, he told the disciples that the Jews were not clean and the Gentiles unclean before God. Jesus told them that all are unclean before the Lord, before salvation. Jesus made the statement in the Gospel of Mark that it's not the things that are outside to defile a man, but it's what comes from the heart. And Jesus was showing him now in this vision, God was showing him in this vision, that all that God has, all the people of God, are precious to him. Peter responds with the word no. God gives him the message three different times. Poor old Peter, he just couldn't get it, you know. Well, how many times has God spoken the same message to us? But anyhow, what God has cleansed, folks, no longer consider unholy. Peter didn't understand at that exact moment, but he will in a little bit. I read this statement that said this. It says, you can say no and you can say Lord, but you cannot say no Lord. You cannot say no Lord. If he is truly your Lord, then we can only say yes to him and obey his commandments. But folks, notice verse 18 through 22 with me. It says, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And when Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius, and he said, yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they say, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear the words from you. Folks, when God speaks to us, he's going to guide us to the one who is seeking him. God will never call upon you to do something that he's not already instructed or trained you to do. And when God speaks to us, he will guide us to the one who is seeking. Peter, while reflecting on the vision, we know that the Spirit of God spoke to him. God's timing is always perfect. You realize that God's timing is always perfect. And these three men from Caesarea arrived at the door just as Peter was pondering the message or the meaning of the vision. And verse 20 says, without misgiving or nothing doubting, meaning make no distinction. Guess what, Peter? There are some Gentiles knocking on your door. Make no distinction. You need to go to Cornelius' house. There's a man there who is waiting to hear from you. And so when Peter arrives, he discovers that Cornelius had gathered his relatives together to hear the message from the Apostle Peter. It's just an amazing thing to me. Here this man, Cornelius, had already gathered all of his family together to hear the message. In other words, even before he come to know what true salvation was all about, he already had a great concern for his family. And he brings them all together to hear the message. Look at verse 28. It says, then he said, you know how, this is Peter speaking, how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one another, to another nation. But God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean. When he arrives, Cornelius shares the vision with him. God begins to move in the heart of the Apostle Peter, and he realizes that God calls no man common. Listen to verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Folks, it doesn't matter. God has no favorites. He does not discriminate on the basis of race or background or education or intellect or social standing. God loves everyone. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," the word "whosoever" includes everyone, folks, that would respond. And so when it comes from salvation, there is no difference. Salvation is for all men, for all have the same Creator, and all men need the same Savior, all of us. We have been created by the same God, because there is only one, and there is only one Savior. And Peter made a remarkable discovery that day, namely that God accepts men from every nation. God's grace in Jesus Christ is for all people. And this fact forced him to eliminate all of the prejudice and tear down all of those walls that were built in his life. There's a couple of important things I want you to see from this. First of all is this. The idea of one religion is as good as another is completely false. Amen. It's completely false. Cornelius was a good man, a God-fearing man, but apart from having the message of the gospel and trusting Christ, he had no hope. There are a lot of godly men and women today that are sitting in between a couple walls, and when they leave the day, they'll have no more hope than they had when they went in. That is sad. The second thing I want us to realize is this, is the seeking Savior will find a seeking sinner. Wherever there is someone searching, wherever there is a searching heart, God is going to respond. And that's why it's so important for us to share the faith of the gospel with those that need to hear. Peter had the great privilege. Peter had the great privilege to come there to the Gentile house and preach to a model congregation. In other words, when he showed up that day, all that were present, they wanted to hear the word, they listened to the word, they believed the word, and they obeyed the word. Dr. Wiersbe says, you know, what more could a preacher ask for? You know, a whole congregation that wanted to hear the word and listen to the word. See, we don't know. Sometimes we come across, well, you know, I don't think that person would really listen. We don't know. We don't know what heart God has worked on. We don't know what heart God is opening up of a person who wants to hear the word. They want to believe the word. They want to obey. They just need somebody to tell them. And God is still in the business of preparing servants to go. And he's still preparing the hearts to receive the message. You and I just simply need to look at the people the way that the Lord Jesus looks at people. Now, I've shared this verse numerous times, but it is a verse that I cannot get away from. And it's found in chapter 9, and in verse 36. It says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Folks, I don't know where everyone is, but I do know this. According to the word of God, I can stand here on the authority only of this Bible and say that the harvest is ready. Because that's what God said. And he is equipping us, training us through Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, preaching services, Bible study, all these other things. He's equipping us with a message to go to anyone who will listen. That's why we support missionaries. Missionaries to the Philippines, to Africa, to various different countries all over the world. That's why, you know, we're supporting, through our mission giving, we're supporting new churches that are being built in places like Chicago and Philadelphia and the Northwest, which, you know, Washington and Oregon are really need the gospel message out there. And we support them. Why? Because there are people there I don't know where they are, but I know this. According to the Word of God, there are people there that are searching for the truth. They just need somebody to tell them. Peter simply went in verse 34 through verse 48 of Acts chapter 10. Peter just simply went and preached the word. He declared that Jesus Christ was the one that all the prophets had pointed to for the fulfillment of God's promise of salvation. He declared everyone who believes in Jesus Christ received forgiveness of their sins. Peter made it clear that salvation is found in a person, not a path or of understanding or works. Folks, Jesus did not come to teach a way to salvation, but to present himself the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the simple message that we take forward. And when we preach the message, God gives the increase. The Bible tells us in verse 44 that Peter stood up and began to speak. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word. We share the word, and the Holy Spirit of God gives the increase. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and the whole idea of coming down on them recalls the initial experience that Peter had experienced. Peter had just started his sermon. He had just started preaching, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God interrupted the meeting. I like what Dr. Wiersbe says. He said, God the Spirit interrupted Peter, and Peter was never able to finish his sermon. And this is what he says. Would that preachers today have interruptions of this kind? I like that. What it would be like when you're standing here preaching, all of a sudden the Spirit of God falls down. You know, I thought that happened in this dramatic way one time. Maybe some of you were here. But Pastor Arlen was doing a funeral service. And in the midst of that funeral service, you know, right in the middle of the sermon, he gave the message, you know, does anybody want, he was talking about salvation. He said, does anyone want to be saved? And I remember right out here in the middle. So I think it was a lady. She said, yes, I do, right now. And so he just stopped the service and gave the gospel. And right there, she bowed her head and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. We talked later on. He said, that ever happened to you? I said, no, you know, but praise the Lord. If you're sitting here sharing the message and the Holy Spirit of God falls on somebody's heart and boom, just like that. They don't have to worry about the rest of the message because now they're a child of the living God. Would be that the Holy Spirit of God would fall upon his service here in First Baptist Church. Folks, our task is simply this. Take the gospel and allow God to do the rest. So in conclusion, like Cornelius, folks, please understand this, that many today are lost. They're religious, but they're lost. They are trusting in everything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Matthew chapter 7 tells us, it says, "On many on that day will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done great and mighty works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you." Why? Because they're trusting religion, not the Savior. At the same time, there are people who are good God-fearing people who are searching for the truth. And God will prepare you and me and lead us to that person who is searching. And we need to make sure that at First Baptist Church, we make sure that all barrier walls are down. And that we see people as Jesus Christ sees them and be ready to share the word. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. May these doors always be open and may they always welcome those who would come in, who want to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as they do, be there to guide and direct and disciple them so that too might be used in a mighty way for our Lord. Folks, people need to hear the word. They need to believe on Christ. They need to receive the Holy Spirit, be baptized and united with believers in the church. Why? So they can serve and worship him. I would say this morning, if there's someone here today searching, God knows it. If you're listening on Facebook today, and you're searching for the answers, God knows. And as you're searching, he's seeking you. And we've told you the truth this morning. You can call the office at any time, and I'd love to be able to speak to you maybe this morning. If you're here and never trusted Christ, why not today? Why not settle that issue? But I would say to our church family today, I thank God every day for you folks. I pray for you every day. And may we be known as a church that loves God's people, that we're a church that loves other people, and that our goal is to make sure that the gospel is taken to those who have never heard. For one day, it will be too late. So may we be faithful. May we be faithful like Peter and not say, no, Lord, no, Lord, but say, yes, Lord. Equip me, guide me to that person that I might share the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ with them. For only in Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, can a person be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. And Father, thank you for this passage. And we've went over it very, very quickly. There's so much there, Lord, that we didn't really look at. So I would encourage us today to go home and read chapter 10, chapter 11 as well, the first part of it, so that we can get the whole context of what's taking place. But we thank you today. We thank you, Father, as our hearts were searching, that you brought somebody to us and shared the gospel with us so that we could be a part of your family. We thank you for that. And we thank you this morning for the opportunities that you're opening for us to share the gospel. And I would just pray today, Father, as we reflect back on the Lord's Supper, as we reflect back on your word, Father, speak to our hearts today. Open our hearts today. Give us a compassion for the lost. And help us today to reach out to those who need to hear. Maybe somebody in our family, maybe somebody at work, maybe just a neighbor. Father, may we be obedient to say yes to all you call us to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Please stand.